going to be in Luke chapter 17. And we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and worship. And I know that I feel like I have talked a lot about Thanksgiving over the past month. But let's face it, it's something that we need to be reminded of often. And I was comforted when I realized that in Peter, in 2 Peter, Peter said, "I will not be negligent to remind you of these things." And I thought that is a lot of what we do in preaching, is we remind of things that maybe you already know, maybe you've heard before, maybe it's not all new information, but my prayer is that God would give you the information that he wants you to have on this day and this time so that it can be a word in due season. And that's what we need. Amen. So we're going to look in Luke 17 and read verses 11 through 19. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." So the New Living Translation says he went on the border of Samaria in Galilee, and that's important to understand. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." They had to do that because they were unclean. We'll talk about that later. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" It says they lifted up their voices. So they're far off, so they weren't whispering because Jesus couldn't have heard them if they were whispering. They were yelling because he was far off. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?' Because he was a Samaritan. And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So you can be seated. And we're just going to kind of go through these verses and look at some things. So number one, verse 14, it says, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" So Jesus' response to people regarding sickness and healing was varied. He responded very differently in multiple ways. In this case, he didn't pray for them. He didn't even touch them. He just told them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, leprosy in this point, so basically he told them, "Go and act like you have been healed." Leprosy was very contagious. In that day, if people had leprosy, they had to go and live outside the camp. They had to leave their family. They had to go and live outside the camp because that was the way that God had designed for to keep it from just spreading, like the way that plagues used to just spread through. And so people had to go outside the camp. So they were unclean, which is why they were yelling to Jesus from afar off. So Jesus, I don't believe, was afraid of catching leprosy, because he touched people. He, in other places, he did touch people that had diseases. But in this case, he just told them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." So to show themselves to the priest was to go and verify that they were healed so that they could re-enter society. So basically, it was like going to get checked and to say, okay, you're clean. Now you can rejoin your family and go back to society. What's interesting is as they obeyed is when they were healed. As they went, it says they were cleansed, which means to make clean. And that's important because as lepers, they were considered unclean, which is another reason why they were outside the camp because of this disease. They were considered unclean. And so it's interesting, though, that it didn't happen until they obeyed what Jesus had told them to do. So they left to verify that they were cured before they were cured. So Jesus is like, "Go and show yourself to the priest to verify that you've been cured," while they still had leprosy. So I don't know at what point when they left that they were healed. It says as they went, they were cleansed. So we don't know at what point, you know, we don't know how far away the priests were that they had to go. But at some point along the journey, they realized that they were clean. Jesus asked for faith from us. There, I mean, my parents took us to church no matter what was going on with us. And I know that in today's day and age and with COVID and everything, you know, everybody's a little bit more worried about it. And so I try to be sensitive to people's, you know, feelings about that. But listen, where God will meet us often where our level of faith is. And I pray, just so y'all know, so you can pray with me, I pray that germs will not be passed if people come in faith and obedience to church. And I'm always sad when people say, well, I brought my, you know, whatever, I came to church and I got sick. If you have been many other places, do not assume that you caught it at church. You could have caught it from the doorknob that you touched at Walmart or Dollar General. You know, your kid could have caught it by touching somebody at school and came home. I mean, germs are airborne. So the truth is, you can catch it multiple places. So please don't first thing assume, oh, I probably got it from when I went to church because I chose to go and worship God and my reward was that I got sick. You know, don't assume that, because the truth is, if we come in faith, I believe that yes, and I know that the people say, well, there is wisdom. Yes, there is. I get that there's wisdom. And there are times when maybe it is just difficult for you to move and get out of bed. And I'm not condemning you if you stay home. That's okay. But I am saying, if you come to church and come in faith, and I pray over the nursery, I've gone and prayed over there in Jesus' name, no germs will pass in this, you know, in these classrooms. So that as we come, because the truth is, what makes me sad is if we go everywhere else when we're sick, but we don't go to church, you know. And some people don't go anywhere when they're sick. They stay home. They don't, you know, and that's okay. Again, we are all at different places. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, let's go in faith. If you feel like, man, I really feel like God is telling me to go to church. My mom has said, she never brought us home from church feeling worse than when we went. And so if we will go, and wherever God is calling us, in whatever area of faith that God is causing us to move in, the focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus. And so, again, we don't come and just cough all over everybody. You see, I put a mint in my mouth because if I'm going to pray for people at the altar, I don't want to be concerned that while I'm praying over them and bringing in their face, that my breath smells like coffee, like old coffee, because that's what would happen because I usually drink coffee in the morning. So, you know, the practicality of it is I eat a mint, but then I have just touched my mouth with my fingers that I'm then going to pray for people. So we have Germex right up here that you will see me. Then I sanitize my hands because I'm going to be wise. I'm not going to put my hands in my mouth and then go and touch your hands while I'm praying for you, because there's wisdom that we use in the church. Okay. And so there is balance here. But what I'm saying, they went not being cured yet, because that's what Jesus told them to do. And our focus needs to be not on all of this, because we can get bogged down in what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what I think and what you think. What we need to be focused on is on what God is telling us to do. Again, I'm not condemning you. If you feel like you need to stay home, stay home. If you feel like you need to come to church and you trust God, come to church. Now, we do have a policy. If your kids have a fever, you know, we don't put them in the nursery if they have a fever. But there's just balance in all of these things. And that's where we need to let the Lord lead us. And we need to walk in grace with each other. And we need to pray over the church and over each other. And we need to trust God. And so, verse 15 says, when he realized he was healed, which means to cure, he returned. So we know that they were made clean and then they were healed as they walked, because that's what it says, is when he realized that he was healed, he returned. So again, I don't know how far away they were. It might have been an inconvenience. It probably was for him to turn around at this point, because I don't know how far into the journey to the priest he was. These men were probably very excited to get back into society. I don't know how long they had been outside the camp. I don't know if it had been a long time since they'd seen their wife or their children or their family. And so as they're going on the way and they get healed, you know, it would be an inconvenience to turn around and go all the way back and say thank you. And only one of them did that. And sometimes going back to say thank you requires us to put forth some effort, extra effort. Even when it means saying thank you to the Lord, I get it. If you come to church and you've worked all day, or maybe you've had a rough week and you're tired, Sometimes it requires an extra effort for us to thank the Lord, for us to offer thanksgiving to Him. I wonder if the one tried to get the others. I mean, they were all going to the priest. So I don't know if they went as a group. I don't know if this one was the only Samaritan. It doesn't tell us how many Samaritans and how many Jews there were that were together. I don't know. But if it was me and you get this revelation, oh my goodness, look, like we don't have leprosy anymore. Like, and the one is thinking, man, like we need to go back. I don't know if he was the type of one because, you know, there are in the group, there are those that if they think you should be doing it, everybody should be doing it. You know, those people, which are good because those are the people that push people to do the right things often. I struggle because I don't want to tell other people what to do often. You know, I'm like, I mean, if you don't want to go, that's up to you. You know, you do you, you know, it's up to you, you know. But I wonder if this man was the type that was like, hey, are you guys going back? Like, do you realize what just happened? Do you realize that he healed us? I mean, I get that we're 5 miles. What is 5 miles in a lifetime, guys? Like, you know, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And it's cool sometimes to think about what these stories might have looked like and what the conversations. Now, I'm not saying this happened because the Bible doesn't say it, but we know these were people. And I don't know about you, but I would be thinking, hey, are the rest of you coming? Like, are really just me? Just me. I'm the only one going back. Okay, you can deal with Jesus the next time you see him. That's up to you. I'm going back to say thank you. And so he went back. It meant a completely different life for him, though. It says with a loud voice that he glorified God. Verse 16 says he fell down on his face, giving him thanks. Giving thanks with a loud voice is beneficial. If you put up, I skipped over the first slide. Will you just put up the second one, Jacob? It's not for me. It's for him. Remember this when it comes to thanksgiving and praise and worship and sacrifice. Because Romans 12:1, I was looking this verse up at the end of worship, that it says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable service in some translations is translated spiritual act of worship. That's because service in the Greek, it means worship. And so when we say no to the flesh, and when we lay down our lives as a sacrifice, that is an act of worship. So we know worship is not just singing songs. In fact, in the Old Testament, me and Chanel were talking about this, and she said this to me, and I thought, that is so true. Like back in the Old Testament, when they brought a sacrifice, they didn't sing. They brought a sacrifice and laid it on the altar in front of the priest. Now, David instituted having the singers in sing and that going on often in the temple. Worship is singing and it is lifting your hands. We'll look at that in a minute. And it is multiple things, but it's not only those things. It is when we offer our life as a sacrifice, when we do what God is telling us to do instead of what our flesh wants to do. That is a spiritual act of worship because we're saying, God, this is not about me. This is for you. This is about you. My life is for you. So it's not for him or it's not for me. It's for him. I shared a couple of weeks ago, but it bears sharing again, that I saw a meme and the person said, I didn't like the worship today. And they said, the person said to them, that's okay. It wasn't for you. And we need to always remember that. This is not for me. I didn't like that song. I didn't know that song. I couldn't sing along because I've never heard it. That's okay. It wasn't for you. It was for Jesus. And I promise you, because I know Janine well, she seeks God over every song. So please don't go up to her and ever tell her, man, I didn't like that song that you chose. Because I promise you, she sought God before they even practiced it. She prays all week, Lord, what songs do you want us to sing? She doesn't pick songs just because they're popular. She doesn't pick songs just because people like them. She tries to be sensitive to the desires of people, like these people want hymns and these people want us to sing some older songs and these people want us to sing some newer songs. Like that position is like she fights to do what God is calling her to do. And so our job is to know that God is leading the worship team and to worship Jesus because he is worthy. And if it's a new song, read the words and pray along until you learn it. And if it's a song you don't like, say, it's not about me anyway. It's about Jesus. Now, I don't know about this man, if he was one of those naturally boisterous people. If you've met my husband, he is a little bit more expressive than me, naturally, in every way. He's expressive if you watch sports. He's expressive when he's talking to you. He will do like this if he's very intent on what he's... He is expressive when he's worshiping. I mean, he is expressive across the board. I don't know if that's the type of man that this was, or if he was just so overjoyed that his life had so completely changed that it didn't matter. I've shared lots of times before, the Lord has led me and taught me how to worship. These scriptures, I just want to show you a few scriptures. Psalm 134, 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Rick talked about this is also a sign of surrender. We lift our hands not because it's just something that we do in church, but because the Bible tells us to. And I get it because I was in church when I first raised my hands and you feel like everybody in the sanctuary turns and looks at you. Like, that's just what it feels like. They're not, I promise. Nobody is like, oh, that's the first time that Christina ever raised her hands. Nobody's doing that. Like, it feels like it, but they're not. Because, and if they are, their focus is on the wrong person anyway. They shouldn't be looking at you. They should be looking at Jesus. So 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The Bible says in John 4:24, we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. But lifting up holy hands is part of that. Psalm 47:1-2 says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. That's why we clap. That's why we shout. Because the Bible tells us to, and because God is awesome and he is worthy. 2 Samuel 6:14 says, then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. And then verses 21 and 22. So this is after, this is when they brought the ark back into the city. And David was so excited. And when he went back, his wife at that time said, oh, had something sarcastic to say to him. David said to Michal, because she said something to him about how he was dancing and uncovered himself because he wasn't wearing his kingly robes. He was just dancing in a linen ephod. And David's response to her was, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music to the Lord and I will be even more undignified than this. I'm just going to be honest. That's a struggle for me. Like, to be undignified in front of people. If you see me jump, it is an effort for me. I do not do it naturally. It does not come easily. It is a choice of obedience to the Lord because I feel like he is leading me to. And I am determined to make it about him and not about me. Because verse, it continues, I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. That's important in worship, that we be humble in our own sight, that we say, God, I feel like everybody in the church is looking at me when I bow down before you right now. But God, you are worth it. God sometimes will begin to stir you to do things that are uncomfortable for you. Those who worship extravagantly are sometimes judged by others, but it's not about us. It's about him. And we need to keep that in mind. It's something important to remember. It should humble us because it should remind us that our lives are not lived to honor others, but to honor him. Sometimes worship might be out of our comfort zone, but it's for Jesus. So it's worth it. the relationship that Christ has with the church. It talks about in Ephesians 5, 23 through 33. And we're not going to read those verses, but that is just a reference if you want to look it up, that Jesus talked about the bride, and we are the bride, where Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride. And I'm saying that to understand that Rick, as I, as being a married couple, there are times that I have asked him to get out of my comfort zone. I know, honey, that you might not want to sit down and talk about this, but it's important to me that we sit down and talk it out. And he has stepped over himself and what comes naturally for him many times. He has asked things of me. And when we first got married, I would always forget things. I'm naturally very laid back and just kind of flowy, and I would just forget things. And in my mind, like, it was an accident, baby. Like, how do you not understand? Like, I didn't do this on purpose. Like, just let it go. And he said to me something that changed my life. He said, if it would have been important, you would have written it down so that you didn't forget. And I'm like, oh, like, oh, you know, like, because in my mind, like, no, you should just forgive me and be merciful because I didn't mean to do it. I never want to offend you. And I used to get so offended because he would get upset at me and I would think, he's just mad at me again. And the Lord started dealing with me and said, he might be upset, but this was your fault because you were insensitive. And the Lord began to change me in a positive way and teach me that I need, because that was an area of weakness in my life. And so now if you look at my phone, I literally have 15 alarms on my phone because I learned that the calendar app didn't work for me because it blings one time. That's not enough for me. I need an alarm that goes off until I look at it and turn it off. And so that's what I do for multiple things in my life, for things that my husband asked me to do, for things that the kids need. I mean, to pick up my children, I will have an alarm on my phone because, y'all, I'm just going to tell you, I will forget them. Like, I'll be like at prayer, oh my goodness, we forgot Silas. We're so sorry. Pick him up, you know? So I will have an alarm going off, pick up Silas, pick up when they play soccer or when they play, I will put an alarm, go and pick them up because I'll forget them otherwise. That's just the reality. So I want to end with this. Verse 17, Jesus said, where are the nine? He expected them to come back. He wasn't like, oh, I get it. I understand. Your life is, you know, has completely changed. And maybe now, you know, you forgot. He expected them to come back. His response, I want to show you, his response was, where are the nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Jesus, I believe, knew everything that he said was led by the Father. And God knew that we needed a record of this, that we needed to know that this is a big deal, that we give God thanks. And he said to them, arise. He said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I heard a preacher say recently that the giving of thanks before a meal was instituted by Jesus. That wasn't something that they did in the Old Testament. Now, they made sacrifices and peace offerings to say thank you. But to just stop and give thanks before a meal was something that Jesus instituted. And you see, even when he fed the 5,000, he would stop and bless it. He would stop and give thanks. And so that was something that Jesus instituted, which makes sense because he is the bread of life, the Bible says. He is what sustains us. And so as we offer him thanks, ever since I preach, because I get the most, I think, out of the messages that I preached. And ever since I preached about giving thanks before a meal, y'all, I would just forget. Like, especially when I'm feeding my toddler or the Sela, I would put her in the high chair and I completely forget to pray. Rick always remembers. And so I'll see him and be like, oh yeah, I forgot that. And since I preached that message, I have remembered, like, man, giving God thanks. The Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so when we sit down and have a meal, or when we, our children are eating and we say, hey, let's say thank you to God, we are remembering who Jesus is, that he is our daily bread, that he gives us our daily bread. We are entering into his presence and into his gates with thanksgiving and inviting him to be involved in our meal. That's a precious thing. And so when we eat, it's a good time to focus on him. The last thing, verse 19 said, Jesus said, your faith, or go in peace. How did he say it? Let's see. Yeah, your faith has made you well. That word also is whole. It means, it is the word sozo, which means to save, to deliver, or to protect, to preserve, to do well, to be, or make whole. It's the same word from Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So this man was made whole. He was saved. My dad used to preach that he believed that because of this, when Jesus said this to him, that any limbs or fingers that he had lost because of leprosy, that God restored him and he was made completely whole. But I believe also that his relationship with Jesus was on a different level because of this, because of his thankfulness, because this is the word that is used about salvation. And so I believe this man experienced more of Jesus because of coming back to say thank you. And so thankfulness and worship will teach us things and change us in his presence. Choosing to focus on him rather than ourselves allows us to grow and know him more. And knowing him more gives us spiritual understanding. So learning to live a lifestyle of thanking and praising God, even when it's convenient and out of our comfort zone, is beneficial. And so if the Lord begins to ask you, hey, you start thinking, man, I really feel like I should raise my hands, or maybe I should kneel, or maybe I should dance, or maybe I should, you know, whatever, shout. Just know God calls us sometimes into new things. And just as marriage calls us into new things and we give and change and grow for that other person, we are married to Jesus and we need to be willing to change and grow and sometimes step out of our comfort zone. And there's a freedom that comes when we do that, because we step into a deeper relationship with him and we say no to the flesh, which takes us deeper into relationship. And it's beneficial in multiple ways. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. And we just pray in Jesus' name that God, you would help us to live with an attitude of thankfulness. God, when we're in church and when we're at home and when we're at work and wherever we are, help us to offer our lives in thanksgiving and obedience and sacrifice to you in Jesus' name, because you are worth it. Amen.